Hey Kevin, congratulations on your pick tonight.
Thank you.
The player you got, you talked about wanting to get the best player available in the draft. It does seem like you got a player that was even more highly rated perhaps than 10th and also fits a need for you. That's kind of a perfect situation, isn't it?
Well, it was an exciting couple of picks before when you see, you know, the players kind of falling into place. I think you know, there's obviously lots of talent in the top 10. And when we knew that, you know, that we were going to be selecting in the top 10, we felt pretty good about it. As the draft went on, we felt even better about it. And as it came our pick, you know, I might have sprinted to the podium.
They're reading a story from Saginaw by talking to the coach there. He compared Perfetti to Nikita Kucherov. That's a pretty high comparison. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, again, I think no two players are ever alike. I think, you know, the comparison side of things is certainly, you know, something that I think people are honored by. But, you know, this is a player that has kind of grown up around the game. He's you know, been his family's billeted hockey players. He's a student of the game. He, you know, works at his game, you know, off the ice exceptionally hard, and he's an exceptionally smart player. So, you know, he's going to be his own person, and he's going to be his own player. And you know, we're ecstatic to be able to see him develop for our organization.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll go with Brian Munns from TSN 1290. Go ahead, Munsey.
Kevin, we had a chance to obviously talk to him for about 20 minutes on his Zoom call, and boy, you could just feel the excitement of how he was. Can you kind of take us into your draft meetings with him and maybe what some of the conversations were like with some of your scouts as well with Cole?
Well, you know, with the scout side of it, you know, the conversations, you know, were that everyone raved about is his hockey IQ and his intelligence. You know, the work that we've done kind of away from those meetings as well, the people raved about his character. And then obviously his stats and on ice play speak for themselves. Again, it's, as an organization, when you get an opportunity to draft high character players that are talented, you know, like he is, it's something that, you know, you're very excited about.
When you take a look at it now, obviously rounds 2 through 7 coming up tomorrow, just kind of walk us through what it's like from your standpoint from today to tomorrow.
So what we'll do now is, you know, after I'm done this, we'll head back into the offices here and you know, take a look at the list and see where some things are at, digest where some of the picks that, you know, have gone, you know, were on our list and try to strategize a little bit about, you know, where we think the picks may fall. Things happen a lot faster, obviously, in the 2nd through 7th rounds. You know, the picks come quicker. You know, there's maybe opportunities for people calling on trades, stuff like that. There may be some of those things that start to manifest tonight, but, you know, we'll get back on a call, a video call tomorrow morning with our scouts, talk about where things, you know, happened in the first round and you know, set out with a plan for pick 40 tomorrow and you know, see where some other things, you know, may come up with respect to other picks.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And we'll go with Ken Weeb from sportsnet.ca. Go ahead, Ken.
Thank you, Gregor. Kevin, thanks for joining us. Can you talk about the significance of having Crystal involved and what that means for the organization to have her announce the first pick?
Just a real special moment. You know, just the raw emotion that, you know, everyone, you know, feels and the love that we feel for, you know, for Dale and his family. And you know, he was, you know, a big part of the, you know, the conversations and the development of a player like Mark Scheifele. You know, just the way the stars aligned in our 10th year when, you know, we had the opportunity for the 10th pick and, you know, we had the idea that, you know, who better to make it than, you know, the greatest number 10, you know, in the Winnipeg Jets, you know, history. Again, just when we talked to her and the family, just the raw emotion, it just felt so special.
And then just particularly with Cole, I mean, what does it mean to add a top end talent down the middle, and where do you see him? What does he need to do to make the decision difficult on you when the season starts?
Well, again, there's no question he's going to be working at his game. I think he's had an ability to work a lot during the pause and the COVID situation, with respect to being able to skate. I know he puts a ton of work, off ice. I think the bigger questions for us are, hopefully we can, get things started and all leagues can get things started. But again, he's a determined person. He's a determined player. And I have no doubt that he's going to be, pushing to make some tough decisions for us sooner rather than later.
Thank you.
We'll go with Jason Bell from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, Kevin. There's always talk about how teams will always say that we had a guy rated higher than, whatever they thought. But, the numbers do suggest, there's no question, Perfetti could have certainly gone off the board earlier. And in his own mind, the kid said that he was, a bit of a chip on his shoulder, that he's not that he was unhappy to be a Jet, but that he felt like 10 was maybe didn't do him justice. But I mean, how close was that group, and how there was probably maybe three or four guys you could have taken a 10, wasn't there?
Well, so for us, the way that the list worked, obviously, I think, near the top, it was, it kind of went as we anticipated that it might, and then it spread out really quickly. And, anytime you have your list and things start to spread out quickly, as opposed to, going in distinct order, you get excited because you just never know what might happen. There's teams, that have multiple picks in the draft and stuff. And maybe they have the ability to draft for need as opposed to, some other things in their organization. So that every organization has their own philosophy and how they're going to do it. And over the course of time for us, we feel like, how we build our lists and how we value our lists, has worked out well. And so that just kind of adds to the level of excitement. And it's very unpredictable. It always is. There's always different situations that present themselves. But in this case here, for us, obviously, it's an exciting time.
Well, and one quick one just on him. They all can shoot, they all can score, they all can skate. But how much of this kid's maturity did your scouts like right off the bat and in conversations with him? Because he just seems like he's, you're talking about his IQ, but he just seems like a very mature, level-headed guy.
Very, very level-headed, very humble, very, again, a student of the game, loves the game. And, again, those are things that, we value, have served our organization well when we've had the opportunity to, pick those kind of players. He's exciting. He's just, an exciting player.
All right, we'll go with Murat Tesh from The Athletic. Go ahead, Murat.
Thanks, Gregor. Kevin, I know there was a comment about how high Cole Perfetti was ranked kind of around the league and how well things worked out for you to be able to draft him. Would you be willing to commit to something like, would he have been in your inside your top five at your draft list?
I haven't really ever, divulged our list, but, it was funny because as things started to unfold, I started to get a few more phone calls. And I did have one team make a real kind of interesting offer, and someday in my book you'll have to read it, but again, it's for us, our lists are sacred, and we tend to keep them pretty tight.
Clearly you value the player very much if you didn't make a trade at that moment. On the topic of trades, does pick 40 give you an opportunity to maybe add some depth picks or sort of follow that Calgary blueprint from today, whatever it's going to be, to get more bullets to shoot with?
It can. Two things have to happen. One is, we have to feel that there's a grouping of players that would be able to pick out of. And two, Someone, you know, has to have a desire to want to, you know, use multiple picks to move up. So, you know, again, it is a situation that we're not adverse, and we've talked about it, you know, about that possibility. But we'll see, like I say, as the evening continues to go on tonight, and certainly as the morning goes tomorrow, that's where, you know, some of the phone calls, and that's where some of the conversations on the floor, you know, at the draft, you know, would, you know, really make it easy when you can bump into the you know, the other GMs and throw those kind of concepts at them. But, you know, certainly we're not adverse, you know, to that if there's, you know, the right opportunities present themselves.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Ready? And we'll go with Scott Billick from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Scott.
Thanks, Gregor. And I guess good evening, Kevin. Just going back to, you know, 9 years ago, you take Mark Scheifele, a centerman, you know, a student of the game, all that stuff. Was there any, like, obviously the situation, circumstances were different with that pick, but any parallels you can draw between the two players at the times that you drafted them both?
So certainly we know a lot more about Mark Scheifele now than we even did when we drafted him. But, you know, the parallels that do, you know, seem to be there are you know, the student of the game, the passion for the game, the hockey IQ, the high-end hockey IQ that we felt that Mark had. You know, so those are the parallels that, again, you know, when you do start discussing them, you know, you talk about, you know, the upper echelon of the National Hockey League players, and you know, when you have, you know, someone of your own sitting right there that you know, you have some parallels with, it does make you feel good, or it does make the scouts you know, feel good. It's interesting, you know, our staff has been together with very little changes from the amateur side since you know, since we brought the team to Winnipeg, and it's that kind of continuity that I think allows you to draw some, you know, of those type of analogies or comparisons. But you know, the one thing I think that we were very cognizant of when we drafted Mark, and certainly we're cognizant of here, is that a player is going to forge his own path. And, you know, we're not going to sit here and, you know, do things that aren't the best, you know, for his development. And that's, you know, that's the hallmark of our drafting success, I think, or our philosophies. And that's going to be the case here as well.
Right. And just a quick follow-up. It kind of on the heels of that answer, you know, just given how you guys have developed guys over the years, never really forcing guys into the NHL before they need to be there. And given how this pandemic has made hockey, well, impossible for a lot of, you know, junior players and that sort of thing. And even, I mean, the OHL is not even going to start until maybe even December 1st. You know, there's going to be a lot of fans wanting Cole Perfetti to be in the lineup, you know, next season. But I imagine that's a little unrealistic, just given the nature of this pandemic and how it's affected hockey.
Yeah, you know, again, I think there are some parallels, you know, to back when you know, the second year of Mark Scheifele coming to camp here, that was the year of a work stoppage, and you know, we didn't have a normal training camp back then, and you know, fortunately, junior hockey was able to play, but we're in unprecedented times here right now, so it's hard to really sit here and tell anyone you know, how things will unfold. But everyone's in that situation. So for us, again, it's something that we'll look at and consider when you know, when that opportunity presents itself.
Thank you.
We'll go with Gemma Carson-Smith from the Canadian Press. Go ahead, Gemma.
Hi, Kevin. I'm wondering if you can speak at all about how different the draft was this year versus doing it in person.
You know, it was interesting. You know, we had some different, you know, technology. We had all our scouts in our room virtually. You know, generally you're huddled around a table. You know, because we're in a big room, you know, and it's a private room, you're able to speak a lot more freely and openly with your scouts. You know, you're not really guarding your lists from the, you know, from the the lurkers that may be walking by your table, looking over your shoulder. You're watching, you know, Mr. Bettman on the feed that we have directly from the league. That is a, you know, kind of a live feed. And then you've got the TV on in the background, you know, seeing and listening to the analysis. You never, you know, get that opportunity to listen to, you know, the analysis of the draft as it unfolds. But again, so those are the things that, you know, make it special. But there's nothing like being able to, you know, meet the player right away, give them the jersey, have them put it on, and just, you know, feel their excitement. You know, certainly when we had our call with Cole, you could feel his excitement through the phone, or through the, you know, the video. But there's nothing like, you know, seeing and feeling it right away.
And you talked about being able to actually talk to GMs and kind of organize deals that way. Do you think that kind of thing will be more apparent tomorrow, that kind of lack of interaction?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be affected at all. I think, you know, again, teams with multiple picks, you know, have that ability to try to target and do some things. So, you know, if there's opportunities there, you know, you saw a couple moves today, you know, whether the teams were looking to move up or, you know, actively looking to move down, only they know what they were, you know, really looking at. But, you know, again, there's teams that, you know, with multiple picks as the draft unfolds that, you know, will look at that. The interesting thing is, you know, when you enter a draft and you have, you know, a great number of picks, you have to be careful as well, because when it comes time to signing them all years down the road, you know, you have to be able to develop them all and have to be able to have, you know, the contract space. So, you know, you're still planning even for years out when on draft day, you know, or draft weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And we'll go with Mike McIntyre from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks,
Mike. I look forward to reading that book that you're going to write one day. I'll be at the launch. Look forward to it. Speaking of reading books, it sort of leads into my one question for you. You have a lot of very book smart players on your team.
Yep.
Cole won the Scholastic Player of the Year in the OHL. I believe Josh Morrissey won it in the Dub. I believe Adam Lowry has previously won that distinction in the WHL. I don't want to say you guys have a type, but what does it say when you have players that have the sort of off-ice accomplishments to go with the on-ice, and how does that maybe help them in their careers?
I thought you'd really done your homework, Mike, because you can go back and find out one other player that won the Scholastic Player of the Year in the Western Hockey League, but you'll probably have to read my book to talk about that one there too. But, you know, it was interesting.
So you have four players.
Well,
there's,
you know,
four then in the organization.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting because I think it speaks a lot to, you know, to these guys, their dedication to, you know, to you know, who they are and what they want to become. Obviously we have, you know, two such high character, you know, people in our organization that have been, you know, big parts of who we are and what we do, and you know, I think it shows his dedication and speaks to his, you know, his kind of knowledge and you know, and thirst for knowledge. And I think that translates to his game on the ice, you know, with respect to his thirst and knowledge of hockey.
Credit to Ken Wiebe, who just informed us that you are the Scholastic Player of the Year. Thank you for that, Kenny. And congrats, Chevy.
Yeah, thanks.
Big thank you to the 1988 WHL Scholastic Player of the Year, Kevin Cheveldayoff, for his media availability tonight. And thanks, everyone. And we'll look forward to seeing you all tomorrow.